The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is Monday morning, the 24th of May 2021 at 4 minutes past nine. It's great to have you with us today. A little chilly outside. Not very summery. A little chilly, a little overcast. But that could be just here. The rest of the country could be basking in glorious, glorious sunshine. Hope you had a lovely weekend. The chat about the place today was, did you see the Eurovision? The answer, truthfully, is no, I did not. But like any big event, you kind of feel like you've watched it through osmosis. I know that a bunch of heads from Italy won it. I know that there were stories around the people in the band that I won't bother getting into right now. I know that the UK got 0 points, like not 1 point, not 1 point. You'd nearly rather not qualify and be in the final and just head home and say, we'll try again next year than be in the final and get 0 points. What happened? What? I've heard Amanda Holden was a little bit peculiar about the whole thing. In fact, dare I say it, was Brexit a factor in all of this? I mean, did the rest of Europe say, do you know what, if you want to get out, get out? Or is it so apolitical, it didn't matter a damn about Brexit, they just said, we don't like your song. It's not you as a people, it's the song. Either way, once we're not in it, I'm not in it. That's my feeling. So I can't engage. But I presume lots of you just loved it and enjoy it. Because it's great fun. There's no doubt about it. It's a Mardi Gras, isn't it? And get stuck in. But I feel that without the Irish interest in it, it's just not, there's not enough there for to drag me into that Eurovision vortex of joy and unbridled fun. Now, what have I got for you today? Loads of I finished that book I was telling you as I was reading, The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead, which is about an extraordinary story about the plantations and slave owning and slaves in 19th century America. And they had this extraordinary, as I say, underground railroad system to help move slaves, free them up to the north to New York City and so on. Anyway, I would argue that it's one of the most extraordinary books, to use the word for the third time in a row, that I have read in recent times. I'm late to it. It's not a new book. He's written The Nickel Boys, which we talked about since, but it is an absolutely, it got under my skin for all the right reasons, and also got me thinking, just so much thinking about people and inhumanity, man's inhumanity to man, person, people's inhumanity to people, but also how troubled the American story is as a place. Its storied history is pretty. It's a rough story, to say the least. And you know, I'm not sure how well the Irish come out of the story all the time. I mean, sometimes we have to pause and say, God, sometimes you see this in history and you can see it in more recent history again. Sometimes a downtrodden people go and find new opportunities somewhere else. And when they do, they can do one of two things. They can try and find a better utopian type of society, or they can say, no, now we're going to make you pay. And they give the other person the benefit of their unpleasantness, and surely that's what happened when a lot of the Irish went over and just said, right, well, we've come from nothing, so we're going to give hell to these guys. And anyway, it goes on. This particular book, The Underground Railroad, is really one that you should. As somebody said, it's like the To Kill a Mockingbird. It's that level of greatness in it. Won the Pulitzer, and it's just worth picking up. And as summer's coming, if you're looking for a read this summer, just go for it. And it's kind of a beautiful horror of a story, and it's now a TV show, a drama on Amazon Prime, which I will watch eventually. But I did watch, because I was reading that, I was watching 12 Years a Slave. Now, and you must think he had a great crack this weekend, but it was in the I like to watch things that chime with what I'm reading. And Michael Fassbender, you forget how extraordinary he is and amazing he is in that film. And I was reading in the IMDb bits about Fassbender and the alcohol. I don't know if I told you this story last week, but he tinged his beard with alcohol so that when he was shouting at the actors, they recoiled in horror. Just brilliant. But he's particularly excellent. Benedict Cumberbatch, of course, in the middle of it all. Now, what else have I got for you this morning? Well, the good news is that clubbing could be back on the cards, according to independent.ie, this summer, as the government plans to run a series of pilot events that will allow crowds back at music gigs and sports matches starting from next month. This is exciting. They also hope to announce the return of indoor dining and pubs from the first week of July, when the Taoiseach confirms the next phase of reopening society on Friday. And it's going to be, I've noticed increasingly people saying that they're going, yeah, I'm looking forward to going out, but I'm just a little bit nervous. And I'm not sure how much of it all I missed. So they're gently, softly, catchy society. How about that? Saoirse Ronan is going, four-time Oscar nominee, my goodness, yeah, is going to make her UK stage debut as Lady Macbeth in a feminist version of the tragedy at the Almeida Theatre in London. Now, I will travel to London to see that itself, because obviously I think she's extraordinary. I can't stop saying extraordinary today. She's amazing. And she is, and Macbeth is one of my all-time favourites, so that will be something else to go and see. She's 27 and she was in The Crucible, which I'd love to have seen on the West and on Broadway. But she as Lady Macbeth will be something worth waiting for. Owen Colfer, friend and author, was tweeting to say thank you to everyone who sent me the messages over the last couple of days after spotting Artemis Fowl, the book, and the time paradox in The Handmaid's Tale. So surely the cameras go on panning through the bookshelves and everyone wants to see what's on everyone else's bookshelves. And there it is, Artemis Fowl. Good stuff. I watched the first episode of Handmaid's Tale, the most recent series, and I was finding it a little hard to catch up because I didn't stay with the last season. But it's still worth, I think worth hanging in there and seeing what they do with it. Marcus Rashford has become the youngest person to top the Sunday Times giving list, the annual measure of philanthropy, among the wealthiest people in the nation. And this is an impressive fellow. He successfully lobbied the UK government into a U-turn over its free school meals policy during the coronavirus lockdown, ensuring children in need would receive free meals throughout the summer. He donated £20 million sterling to food, poverty and community charities, a sum greater than his personal wealth. So that's some extraordinary generosity again. Here's the word again. Heavy metal rock, yes. Millions of people tuned in on Sunday to watch France's Emmanuel Macron at a private heavy metal gig in the gardens of his Elysee presidential palace. And what he did was he pledged in February to welcome McFly and Carlito, two French YouTubers, followed by over 6 million people, into the Elysee if they succeed in garnering more than 10 million views for a video promoting social distancing measures during the pandemic. And they won the bet and were allowed to shoot a half-hour video, which within hours of release on Sunday morning had been viewed by 2.5 million people. And the French president and the YouTubers exchanged stories during the show and ends with a stroll in the Elysee Gardens, where a French band called Ultra Vomit, of course, perform a hard rock version of the French lullaby A Green Mouse. So there you are. That's a nice little publicity stunt for Macron. And why wouldn't you? AP McCoy tweeting, happy 29th birthday, Istabrak. How about that? And there's a great photo of the horse with his head peeping around the stable gate on which there is a poster, a banner to wish him a happy birthday, and there's cakes, and he has his nose into the cakes. Still calling the shots, writes AP McCoy. Apparently he's not the favourite or spoiled. Hashtag don't push it. It's a funny photograph. If you haven't seen it, check it out, won't you? Now, a text already coming in. Not sure it was Brexit was the problem and the Eurovision for the British. It says, Mary, it's UK. The song was horrendous. Well, there's your answer. European musical senses have diverged from Ireland and Great Britain. Thank God we did not get to the final. We were probably facing nul point as well. You should read Paddy's Lament, says Tom. It tells how badly the Irish are already in America treated the Irish that arrived in famine times. Oh gosh, yeah, that sounds pretty grim. You know that amazing film set around Five Points? What's the score say? Gangs of New York. I always think they that seemed to capture what I would imagine it was like, just the filth and the tenements and the abject poverty and just scraping an existence to get over to come to New York, and certainly that time of history is intriguing. Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl is also very good and a true story by Harriet Jacobs, says Mary in County Wicklow. Thank you for that. We might be not to be too bothered about Eurovision anymore, but it's very important for people in Eastern European countries. Remember the pride we felt when we did well in the 80s and 90s, feeling like equal partners in uniting Europe. That feeling hasn't died. It's just moved on. Fair point. But of course, they didn't. None of those countries won on Saturday. It was Italy, wasn't it? And I believe France were close behind. That's who I had my 50p on. I think they came third, ultimately. So what do I know? Now, there was another book I wanted to recommend because we're hoping to talk to the author this week. So if you want to get a little ahead of the game, and it's not necessarily a topic that I'd be normally interested in, except that they said, I think you might like this. And they handed me the book and I started it last night and I am completely absorbed by it. And this book is called Madhouse at the End of the Earth. So already I'm interested. And it's about this ship's journey into the Antarctic. It's by a guy called Julian Sancton, who writes for The New Yorker and Vanity Fair, and he's a Harvard graduate of history. And I said, let me read the first two paragraphs, not the first two pages. The first two paragraphs will generally give me an idea of whether I'm going to enjoy a book. And I, two paragraphs in, I was going, yeah, you have it. If you liked true crime, like The Suspicions of Mr. Whitcher or The Wicked Boy or these sort of ones I recommend, The Lady in the Cellar recommended before, then you'll like this. And it's just beautifully written. And there's a bit of a thing going on because The Terror is the TV show, the drama you might have seen not too long ago. Kieran Hines is in it and Jared Harris and others. And I'm going to start re-watching, go back to it, because I only watched a couple of episodes, but I got waylaid by other things, so I'll go back to it. But it's that style of the boat going into the ice and the crew on board and what lies within them and the madness that can come with it and the isolation and the struggle. But it looks absolutely fascinating and so far so good. So it's called Madhouse at the End of the Earth. I think anyone who likes it reminded me a little bit of like a Bill Bryson style book almost, but with a more novelistic approach. Okay, all of this at 16 minutes past 9. I think we'll take a track before we talk to our guest. We're going to be talking today about the intriguing prospect of, well, just really just about confidence. Who has it? Why do you have it? And why do some people have it more than others? Can you learn it? Can you lose it? And what to do with it? And that's with Ian Robertson, who'll be joining us. And he's a terrific guy who we've spoken to before. But weirdly, he's going to be joining us live in this studio, which I have to tell you is an unusual experience because we haven't had somebody live in the studio for a long, long time now. So that's exciting. So if you've got any questions for Ian on the subject of confidence, your own, your children's, somebody you love, send in text 51551 and we can put that to Ian or email ryan@rte.ie. Get down. A little bit of Jungle Boogie at 9:19. Unfortunately, says Graham, the UK gets straight into the Eurovision final as it's a big contributor to the European Broadcasting Union, and it denied a better song the chance to compete. That was the feeling there. And Stacey in Dublin says, thank goodness for the Eurovision, the horror for the UK. But really, it was such an out-of-tune song. Same formula as before. No recognition of how music tastes are changing in Europe. Since Ireland officially came last out of the 16 countries in our semi-final on Tuesday, Barry says, perhaps we were lucky to be spared the ignominy of the dreaded nul point on Saturday. Yes, I think so. Every cloud, as you say, probably just as well. And for factual depiction of the legal embedding of slavery and Jim Crow type legislation in the USA, you won't find better than 400 Souls by Ibram Kendi and Keisha Blaine. It's chapters in 5 years chunks by different experts. Thank you very indeed for that. Now, Dara was on to their listening to Morning Ireland as they discussed the possibility of the HSE hackers blackmailing us individually over the release of our medical data. Well, he says, I had a good chuckle this morning when author Liz Nugent tweeted a books review style take on her records. And I think we should all do the same. You've got to love the Irish approach to being blackmailed. Hope you're well. Thank you, Dara. And sure enough, there's Liz's tweet. Apparently, she writes, the cyber hackers are going to release patient details today. If anyone gets my medical records, settle in. Longer than War and Peace, with twists you won't see coming. This story does not have a satisfactory resolution. 3 stars. I like that. That's the only way to deal with things like that at times like this. Here's a nice email from Marie, who says, I'm writing to you to share with you my 70-year-old uncle Kevin O'Dwyer from Tuam County Galway and his daily lockdown quiz. That's some commitment. He provided, she says, a much needed positive connection and entertainment during restrictions over the past 5 months of this year and also during the Level 5 restrictions last year. My uncle, a retired principal amateur actor and prior to COVID, a sports commentator for Galway Bay FM, has developed over 160 daily quizzes for our family this year alone. Participants included brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, cousins and close friends from all over the west of Ireland, Portugal and Dubai. Our recent quiz for this weekend was an audio-based quiz on the Eurovision Song Contest. Quizzes range from general knowledge, politics, famous people, history, science, geography. And I'm sure it required significant effort on his part to develop such and each quizzes. And they provided much needed connection and distraction for us all during a time where fear and loneliness were never far away, especially for our older family members. We pledged no Googling, although a few red cards were issued for breaches. The mantra, what's the quiz today, has become a regular saying in all our families. As we're drawing closer to opening up again and being able to mix as a family, the lockdown quizzes will be sadly missed as they're coming to an end. So on behalf of all the teams and individual members, I would like to thank my uncle Kevin for the joy and the fun and the light of positive mental health he's given to us all throughout his daily quizzes. We also learned so much too. So while lockdown restrictions will be associated with many negative memories for us, the lockdown quizzes will forever be a time where we were united as a family, supporting each other through the fear of COVID and led by a great man. My uncle, Kevin O'Dwyer. I think that's really lovely because Kevin and people like him were the people who got stuff done and got things together to try and make COVID a little easier to bear and to handle. Because there's definitely a sense that we're on out the door and certainly on the way out the door in the coming weeks. It's definitely feeling like we're at the rear view mirror view at this stage, and that can only be a good thing. Okay, we've got a break to take. Let me wish Rita Casey a big happy birthday. Today's not a particularly important birthday in the sense that it's not a round one, a roundy one, as Rona would say. But I know it's an important birthday for her and her family. So Rita, thinking of you today and sending you all the love and all the good wishes from all your friends in the West and the East. And we'll see you soon. Happy birthday. At 9:23, the text number is 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie. We'll be talking confidence and other stories after this.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 is the text number. You can email ryan@rte.ie. I mean, whatever about Ian Robertson as a person, he's actually a very lovely person, but his accent is a joy. It's one of those lovely symphonies to listen to in terms of accents and a brilliant take on that subject. I really enjoyed that. Immensely. In other news, Gilbert is on, say, your earlier mention of The Terror and a book in a similar genre, the one I mentioned earlier, the name of which I missed, you say, reminded me of a book I read recently worth a look called The North Water by Ian Maguire, set on a whaling ship in the Arctic in 1859. It's dark, gripping, compelling. I couldn't put it down. So thanks, Gilbert. Well, you'll enjoy that book that hopefully we'll be talking about later on in the week. Madhouse at the End of the World, I think it's called. Madhouse at the End of the World, which you can, I think, pick up now, but you'll enjoy that immensely. Absolutely agree, says a text. The Underground Railway was brilliant to read, especially despite its challenging theme. It was one of 8 books recommended by Martin in Dubray Books in Dunleary. Great service there. Good on you. And Anne-Marie was on to say, it's so true. I'm petite and look younger than my 48 years of age, though I can be very confident. I've had to prove myself so many times in my career, much more than my taller male colleagues. How about that? And loads in on confidence. So we'll keep that going. And if you want to write in and reflect on that overnight, you can to ryan@rte.ie. And somebody's saying they'd love to talk about the correlation, which we did a bit earlier with Ian, between wealth and confidence. Anne says, I moved to a very wealthy area of South Dublin, noticed a huge air of confidence / arrogance, or maybe some element of entitlement. I am not of this ilk, so found my confidence dipped being surrounded by this group who have no problems taking up space and making their presence felt. Well, oftentimes space is filled by hot air, and a lot of the people that you're talking about would be kind of just human husks filled with exactly that, hot air. So I would say get your elbows out, get stuck in, and show head held high, because you'll be fine. You find that if you scratch the surface, you don't get much further than that. 51551 is the text. Have we done all the ads? We have. Great. On the topic of confidence, I'd like to ask about facial blushing. Well, blushing. I work in the private sector and have many meetings, presentations with some very senior people, and find when my attention is on me, my face reddens quite a lot, and it can be very debilitating. And that's something that comes up quite a bit. So I understand where you're coming from. And Ronan the Librarian says, as that listener just mentioned, Paddy's Lament, it's an essential read on the famine times in Ireland, but have a stiff drink close by. Okay, well, I'm going to write that down and get my hands on that if I can today. 10 o'clock, stay tuned to Clare Byrne. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.